You don't even have to go to a show to see her work. You may have accidentally walked past it and not even know. Hi, my name is Drew. I'm from 99.3 Moose FM. Welcome to Fascinating People. This is the show where we highlight a citizen of West Nipissing. This is somebody who actually lives here, lived here, or has some grand impact to the area. For example, Leanne Boudreau-Longfellow is our guest this time around. She is a local artist. You may have seen her pottery at some of the shows. She was a feature at the International Plowing Match. She had a booth and a table to show off her artwork. She's also painted a mural in West Nipissing. We'll be talking about where you can find it in this conversation. And we're also going to be talking about homeschooling, creating art, and the philosophy of art in the next half hour. Now, if you yourself want to be a guest on Fascinating People, because by the way, everybody is fascinating. You just have to get them to tell you why. And if you want to, send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. Thanks again for joining us today. This is Leanne Boudreau-Longfellow.
Bonjour, allô. I'm your artist friend, Leanne Longfellow. I'm an artist, a painter, a potter, a busy homeschooling mother of two sweet little kitties. I prefer backwoods to the cities. Wow, Drew asked me to be on the show. What the heck? We'll give it a go. Hit me with your first question, Drew.
That was fantastic. You told me you'd written a poem for this one, and honestly, I don't know what I expected, but I loved that so, so much.
Oh, I'm glad you like the cheesiness.
Oh, cheesiness is my forte. That was so good. So yes, thank you so much for chatting with us. We might, I think we'll discuss the elephant in the room first off as to why you're calling me over the phone, because we're doing the social distancing thing.
Of course. I think the social distancing is working out for me because it's giving me extra time to create. I've had extra time on my hands to buckle down and do some homeschooling and get ahead with my pottery. So it's been good.
Oh, yeah. I guess with homeschooling, you wouldn't have to worry as much about the government canceling the education then, because your kids are homeschooled?
Yes, they are. There was no real change for me, to be honest, because we homeschool and we work at home. So other than staying away from town, not a lot changed around here.
So where do you live? What area of West Nipissing are you?
I'm in Field.
In Field?
Yes.
Have you always been there?
No, I was born and raised in Kirkland Lake.
How long were you there?
I was there until I graduated, and I went to Canadore College for graphic design. From there, I'm assuming you'll ask me how I got to West Nipissing.
Yes, please.
So from Canada, I worked in North Bay for about a year, and then moved to Sturgeon to work at the local print shop.
And this was right after graphic design?
Yeah, I worked in North Bay for about a year in graphic design.
Well, that's pretty good, getting a job in the field that you wanted.
Yeah, it worked out. I worked in Sturgeon at the print shop. I met my husband, he owned his own company. And within the following year, I left work in Sturgeon and started working from home with my husband. So I worked with him until the day before we had our daughter, and I haven't been back since.
Because you're happy, right?
Yeah. Stay-at-home mom who homeschools, and I keep busy with my pottery, and I do paint socials as well. I do the Yo Picasso stuff.
Paint social, what's that?
I gather people to paint.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I keep busy with kids' classes. I really enjoy doing the kids' classes. So hello to all my little mini Picassos out there who have painted with me in the past. Usually I just rent the boardroom downstairs of the Sturgeon Falls Library, and I have classes with little kids.
Is it like Bob Ross where you paint along with them?
Somewhat, but I usually choose a theme that we stay within, and I believe that the kids should have a say in what they paint. So within that theme, they decide what they want to paint, and I help them along.
What kind of themes do you come up with?
They really like according to holidays. So I had to cancel my recent one for St. Paddy's and Easter because the famous COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But we've done all kinds in the past.
You've done mostly you focus on holidays?
No. I've done portraits. I've done earth-themed ones, flowers. We did a fox once. Just a variety of stuff.
Just whatever you're feeling at that moment?
Exactly. We even had one that was, they got to paint their favorite food that they like to eat. So that was interesting.
And how long have you been doing this with the library?
I just rent the library. I've done private parties and everything as well, too. I've been doing it since 2016, I think.
And that's around the time you left that the job to stay at home?
No, I left to work at home with my husband was in 2006-ish.
Oh, 10 years before.
Yeah, we worked together for years before we started our family.
This was at your husband's company?
Yes, Crimson Pepper.
What's that?
We do graphic design.
You know, I should probably just figure that out at this point.
Yeah.
So what got you into that anyway, graphic design?
When I was growing up, I wanted to be an artist, obviously. And you could not make a living out of being an artist. So the closest thing to being an artist was being an artist on the computer. So that's what I went to school for.
So then if we back up a little bit more, can you think of the moment where you decided, I need to create?
I've always felt the need to create. As far back as I can remember, I come from a family of five. So I have four brothers, and my parents always encouraged me. They never limited what I could or couldn't do in my own space, in my room. I went as far as to collect bubblegum wrappers and cover my entire bedroom walls with bubblegum wrappers, and I placed them so that it looked like a quilt pattern. So my parents did let me explore and express, and I think that has a lot to do with who I am today.
Yeah, the freedom to basically figure out who you wanted to be is such a luxury. That's what my parents did for me as well, which is why I'm in this ridiculous career.
That's awesome. It's good, and I hope that I encourage my kids in the same way.
And you have like a very hands-on experience with the homeschooling in your kids' development.
I do. If we do a couple hours of actual sit-down workbook work every day, I find that we're ahead of the game. So the rest of the time we can really explore and create. We create every day. There's always supplies out. Like my seven-year-old, he can make a bowl on the wheel very easily. So it's quite impressive. And my daughter draws and writes poetry, and it's just great to have that free time to create.
How old are they, if you don't mind me asking?
They're 9 and 7.
Not even double digits.
No, not even.
Of course, I'm imagining the wheel. Is it what I'm thinking, where you have to like pump it to spin it with your foot, or am I thinking of something else?
No, I have one that plugs in and it's electric.
Okay, but still,
it's like the classic. Everyone says, "Oh, just like on Ghost." Yes, just like on Ghost. You plug it in and there's a button and it just turns.
You can adjust the speed, I'm assuming, or is it
yes.
just...
Okay. Yeah, it has like a gas pedal, so you press down if you want it to go quicker.
Ah, there is a pedal.
Yes, there is.
I was close.
But not like, because I've seen the old-fashioned ones where you actually kick your foot on the bottom of the wheel and it makes the wheel turn. This one is like a gas pedal.
Probably a little easier to use if you're 7 or 9.
Yes, and it requires a lot less coordination.
We're going to get back to art in a second, but I'd love to chat with you a bit about the process of homeschooling, because I've never been homeschooled. I'd never actually met any people that have been or are teaching at home. So if you'd like, I'd really love to dive in deep about the process.
Okay.
I'll see if
I can answer all your questions.
How did it begin? Like, what was the deciding process of like, I'm not going to send them to school. I want to keep them at home.
I'm not the average homeschooler who like disagrees with the school system and all that. I live in the backwoods of Field, and the bus ride was a long one to go into River Valley or Sturgeon with multiple transfers. So I decided when my daughter was 4 that I wasn't ready to send her to school. I would wait until my son was ready. When his time came, I realized pretty quickly that he wasn't ready to be leaving home. There's lots of things that maybe I babied him a little bit too much, but he wasn't ready to go to school. So I said, I'll just do it one more year. And she's in grade 4, so we've been doing it for 6 years now. And the more you do it, the more you realize what works and what you love about it. And there are struggles, but most of the time it's really rewarding. And I like being there with them while they learn, and I really enjoy it.
So what's the process of getting yourself, do you have to be certified to be a homeschool teacher?
No, nope, I'm just a mom who cares. I do my best. Homeschooling is very fluid. You could do it multiple ways. There's the unschoolers who don't do any sit-down work, and there's the other end of the spectrum where folks sit down and do work. They're recreating school at home. I think I'm in the middle. We do some sit-down work, but you realize pretty quickly that the kids are learning a lot from everyday events. They're very capable at doing their own laundry and cooking full meals. They bring in firewood. They are in our everyday life, and they know how things go about. And I think that's really important life skills as well. So, yeah, I download the curriculum for what Ontario has, and I try to stay at par because I don't know how long I'm doing it. But, yeah, you could basically do it any way you see fit.
So forgive me if I'm wrong. Aren't children legally required to attend school?
My kids have never been in the system, so I don't have to report to anyone. I believe, don't quote me, but I believe if you pull them out of the system, you have to submit a letter of intent to the school board that they were in every year. But I don't know all the specifications for that. But I know if you do it from the start, they just trust that you're doing what you can.
So you say you're up to grade 4 and you can just download the curriculum stuff off of Ontario.
It's all available on the Canadian website.
Okay. So do they have to like apply for their GED afterwards?
Yeah, you would do the same thing. So you would do up to grade 12 and then they would just go see Nandita and they would get their regular high school equivalency test done.
So there's really no leering body of government that's watching over you. It's just you download the curriculum, you teach them what they need to learn, and then as soon as they're old enough for the test, you tell them to take the test.
Exactly. Now, you probably have half your viewers saying, like, that's awesome, and the other half going, oh my goodness. But most of the homeschoolers that do it, we have like good intentions and we want our kids to do well. So it's not like we're just letting them fail at home while they're just playing and doing nothing. We care about their successes and we want them to do well. So I don't think it's a concern for most of the families.
I don't think so either. Because to me, it sounds like you have the best of intentions. You want your kids to learn. You're not just throwing them in their room and hitting them with a booklet saying, read this and answer the questions on the 12th page.
And when we do a lot of our work, it's hands-on. I find if I read them a book or make them watch a video, it might not soak in. But when we're doing things and they're physically doing it, then they remember it. So I may just need to do it once or twice compared to doing it multiple times so that it's ingrained in their memory.
I was going to say, I'd rather learn how to chop wood rather than learn that A squared and B squared are a thing.
Yeah, because if you think about it, what do you remember from your education in the public school system?
A squared, B squared equals C squared. That's about it.
You don't remember a whole lot of it. So the things that they are learning, they're remembering.
So do you separate school and home time, or is it just like at any point there could be education?
I think as a homeschooler, you look for those windows where they get to learn and they think they're not learning.
You try and teach them a lesson without, you know, writing it on a chalkboard.
Exactly. I often take my homeschooling outdoors. So in the summer, we'll take the kayaks, we'll go out, we'll sit on an island, we'll maybe do workbooks, but just sitting and watching nature, you can learn a lot from just what's around you.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of jealous. I wish I had this.
You can homeschool yourself.
I mean, I'm kind of at the point, I've got the college degree and everything. I kind of wish as a kid I was taken to the woods and just explained why you hang your food up on a tree or something.
Mm-hmm. But little things like watching the ants or for 3 years in a row now, we've happened to catch the dragonflies hatch out of their nymphs. How many kids can watch a little bug climb out of the water, sit in the sun and like hatch out of this nymph, and then they're holding dragonflies and watching them stretch their wings until they harden and then they fly away. Like that stuff's golden.
That's so unique. I don't even know what a nymph is.
Dragonflies come out of the water as like a little water bug.
Oh, so it's kind of like a tadpole turns into a frog, but
exactly.
The equivalent of a tadpole is called a nymph?
Oh, well, I believe the nymph is this stage that it's at. So the first stage is the nymph.
Okay. We're getting off topic. I'm sorry. I got distracted.
It's a little off topic of pottery, but you did say we were going to wing it.
That's true. The whole basis of the show is I want you to tell your story. And yes, pottery was the other thing. So you got into graphic design, you started wanting to stay at home with the kids and homeschool, and then mm-hmm. you started creating different kinds of pottery.
Exactly. I did classes for a couple years with a local potter. She was awesome. She made me feel like I could do it on my own. So I've been set up at home for a little over a year, which is great because as soon as I was set up at home, I had more time to work on the wheel and to explore, to make mistakes and try different things. And when you're in a class, you're limited to a certain amount of time, right?
So you said you started the pottery stuff a year ago?
I've been set up at home for a little over a year. I started doing pottery in late 2015.
And before then, it was traditional painting?
Yes, I'm always going to love painting with acrylic.
Specifically acrylic?
Acrylic is the best. I do watercolor. I'm not a fan of oil, but acrylic is my favorite.
My girlfriend, fiance, pardon me, is...
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. She works at a daycare. Okay. And I know so much more about paint now because the kids, they love to throw their hands in everything and color with all the paint. So when you say acrylic, I know exactly what you mean. That's what she prefers too.
Yeah, it's good.
So then you're starting to create the pottery, and I actually have your business card in front of me where in big blue letters says pottery.
Yes.
So what do you do as a business with this? Do you just put on showcases? Do you sell them? What do you do?
I do local craft shows. It's amazing how many people I could reach with my artist page on Facebook. So I have shipped pieces all over. I did the big IPM event recently. So that was a lot of work working towards.
Did you have your own tent there, or were there a separate?
Yes, I shared a booth with another local artist, Shirley Coburn. She's awesome. She paints with acrylic as well and does some sketch pen and ink.
And what was that experience like, just having that many people come and see your creations?
The experience was awesome. It was a feel-good community experience. Every time I left my booth and I drove home, I felt a sense of pride and connected to my community. It was great to feel like a part of a group, a team of artisans. We all worked towards it, and we all were standing at our booths all day, and it really makes you feel connected to these other artists.
I guess you would have, yeah, made a bunch of different connections. Did you mm-hmm. yourself learn anything? Did someone come up and teach you a new technique or share something new?
Is it bad that I say no?
No, it's not bad at all.
There was a lot of people all the time, so we didn't have enough spare time to just sit and talk technique kind of thing. But I met a lot of interesting people, and my pieces were sent. Like, I had a woman from Germany buy a piece, which was cool. And I had pieces go to Vancouver, and then they were flying to Bangkok with them.
Bangkok?
Yes.
You are an international superstar.
Isn't it awesome? That's the IPM's fault.
That's incredible. I didn't realize we had people from that side of the world.
It was very cool because the IPM, you've got to reach out to more people than our tight little community. Like, I've had a few potters walk into my booth, and it was interesting to just meet other people that are doing the same thing or that just enjoy your pieces, and they would have never seen it if you didn't take part in this event.
See, that's the thing. When you create something, it's automatically unique because it's with your own hands.
Yes, exactly. My pieces, I don't use any molds. Everything's created one at a time. I don't want to sound like an infomercial or anything, but my pottery isn't made in China. It's all made in the backwoods of West Nipissing. I work with the clay. It takes like a month and a half to 2 months to create one piece. It becomes a piece of art because there's no two mugs alike. Even if you try to recreate it, I mean, my pottery teacher is a lot better at making doubles of something, but I find it hard to, because my pieces become... they come alive almost. So depending on the shape, then I decide to do a certain shape handle, and then deciding on like what I want to carve in it. I really enjoy carving in my pieces.
So you know what? Let's actually dive a little deeper into the creation of pottery. Because in my mind, let me tell you where I am as a layman who knows nothing about this. You get a mold of clay on this table. You turn it on. You use your hands to mold it into a certain shape, and then you paint it. How many steps am I missing?
a whole lot.
All right, let's start at the beginning. So
well,
you're
how
looking.
Much, how much time do we have left?
Oh, we got plenty of time. We could go with this. I want to dive in deep with this one. So you have to go out and buy the mold first. Or the clay, sorry.
I don't use any molds.
Sorry, you said that. You don't use molds. I meant to say clay. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. So I buy special clay, and from there, I slice it off the block. It comes in like big blocks, like a brick.
Where do you buy this clay?
In the Toronto area.
Okay.
So I slice it off the brick, and then I wedge it. Wedge it is kind of like kneading it like you would bread, but I believe bread, you're trying to get air in the dough.
Yeah.
When you're wedging pottery, you're trying to remove air from the dough. Because if there's any air in my pieces, when I put them in the kiln, the air bubbles can't leave the piece, so it actually explodes in your kiln, which you don't want to happen.
I imagine that's a heck of a cleanup.
Yeah, and you could be breaking like other pieces or your kiln furniture, the walls on your kiln.
All right, we got it. We got to step back. What's a kiln?
A kiln is the big oven that I fire my pieces in.
Okay.
Yeah. So once I've wedged my piece, then you even have to wedge it a certain way, and then the part that's wedged towards your right hand is the piece that's on top, because when it goes on the wheel turns a certain way, so you've wedged it kind of in a circle, right? Like a cinnamon bun.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's kind of wedged towards yourself. So when it's on the wheel, that right hand, that side, has to go on the top of the wheel. And so you have to center your piece on the wheel. So while it's turning, you're using your hands to hold the clay like pretty aggressively until it's centered on the wheel. Because if it's not centered, when you start working on your piece, it's going to get all floppy and just collapse on you. So it has to be really centered in the middle of that wheel before you start doing anything to it.
Got to have a solid foundation.
Exactly. So you'll feel that your piece of clay is not moving at all when your hands are centered on it. Then you build up your piece. So I use my thumb and I create like a hole in the middle and then open it up. So pull outwards. And then you have kind of a base, like either the base of your mug or your bowl. And then you use your hands, and on the right side of your wheel, you basically have one hand inside and one hand outside, and you gently pinch and pull upwards, but it has to be done in a slow, consistent movement and multiple times. So you're going up and down until the piece reaches the height that you want.
Like there aren't sections that are thinner than other sections. It's all even on
the
entire way through.
Well, when you're new at it, there's a lot of different sizes. But if you can center it properly and lift your wall properly, it should be pretty accurate in the thickness from the bottom all the way to the top.
So if we could cut back to a few steps before, is there a planning process between the wedging and the actual forming, or are you just kind of letting it flow and it just something's created?
You can go that way, but usually I have an idea. So I know I want to make a mug, so I will use X amount of clay. I have a scale and I weigh how much clay I'm going to use. So I know if I'm going to be making a smaller piece like a mug, or if I'm making a knitting bowl or a big bowl, you use different amounts of clay.
Okay, so fast forwarding again. So you're evening out the sides. You're doing that little pinching up and down to mm-hmm. get the shape that you want. What's next?
Once the piece is to your liking, then I put the piece aside and I let it dry. So I cover it so it doesn't dry too quickly. So I cover it with garbage bags or plastic of some kind. And it'll sit there for a day, sometimes two, depending how humid it is in your space. So you really have to babysit your pieces. I can't just make one piece one day and call it a day. If I'm doing a piece, I have to know that I'm going to be babysitting it and working on it for probably 2 to 3 days in a row. And the next day I check on it, make sure everything's okay. If it's ready, I work on it. If not, I wait. When it's ready to be handled so that the shape doesn't change because it dries a little bit harder, I cut it off the bat with like a wire tool. The bat is the board that it's built on, right? So I pull the board off and I cut the piece off with a wire. And then from there, I just trim the bottom, do any trimming I want on the piece and add handles or whatever. And then after that, it just has to dry really slowly, because if it dries too fast, your pieces may disconnect or things may crack. So you let it dry slowly until it's bone dry. It can't have any moisture in it. This can take a week to 2 weeks. Once again, it all depends how much humidity is in the space where you're keeping the pieces.
Hence why you babysit, so you can check it every once in a while.
Exactly. So once it's air dry, then it goes through the first firing in the kiln, and then it takes almost a full day for it to cool down enough for you to even empty the kiln. So I empty it, and I glaze it. So glaze is like a paint, but once you've painted it on and it dries, it becomes almost powdery, like a chalk. You can't handle your pieces with a, like, you got to be careful not to chip that glaze. It's really tricky. And glaze is not like paint in the sense where you can control what happens, where the lines stop. It's very fluid. So it'll blend, it'll leak, it'll mix colors. It's not a clean edge like paint.
Okay, so it can run.
It can run, yeah. And that's what's really beautiful about pottery is the surprise of what the glaze is going to do. So I glaze the pieces, and then they're all put back in the kiln and fired for a second firing. And when we open, we call it, my little guy calls it the color fire, but the glaze firing is like Christmas morning. The whole family goes out, and we open the kiln. I grab the first piece, and I check it out, and then it's passed to my husband. He looks at it. So it goes to a table, and we all look at the pieces, and we always pick. Everyone picks their favorite piece out of the whole firing, and it's really exciting because you never know what the colors are going to turn out.
So how long is this process then? You've said days, weeks?
Oh, it can take, if I'm like rushing, like I know I have a deadline and I'm working on it, I can do it probably within a month and a half, but usually within 2 months, a piece can be complete.
And how many pieces do you have on the go at once often?
Multiple. I have pieces that are drying, waiting for a firing, because you have to have enough pieces to fill your kiln. I'm not going to do a firing if I just have a few pieces. So I'm working towards having multiple pieces to run the kiln.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
There's so much more to this.
And I'm surprised that I enjoy it so much, because usually I'm pretty impatient with the process. And this is a long process. It's not like acrylic paint where you just throw it at a canvas, blend it, and then it dries within an hour. This is much more time consuming.
It takes effort.
Yes.
Like that's what it stands out to me, because it's a lot of it is the patience behind it. And you say you keep doing different, when you're not homeschooling, you're just creating different pieces of pottery or just adventuring to other art forms?
I'm bursting at the seams with creative ideas. I create every day, either it be painting or pottery or writing a poem or just sketching in my little homeschooling journal. It's in me and I have to create.
They say when you create, you have to share. And I'm wondering, you talked about booths, and what is your Facebook page? I don't think we actually gave a name.
It's under my name. So it's Leanne Boudreau Longfellow. And I believe that you can see easily that it's like an artist page. I have my profile photo is like me with some pottery or something.
So it's more of a display page?
I show pieces that I'm working on. I share a lot as I'm creating, because I think it's important for people to see the process and to see that I'm not just whipping it up in a day. I put thought into my pieces and I work hard to create a piece that people will enjoy and it's functional. So I do share a lot on my art page, yes. And through that, I've had all kinds of contacts and great customers that have come multiple times. So you get to know them and it's a lot of fun.
Forgot to write down the note, but at the library, you're teaching this process?
No, I'm not teaching pottery at the library. At the library, I give kids art classes.
Kids art
painting.
I'm sorry. That's
okay.
My fault. I should have written that down. But so do you actually do any pottery classes, or is that just strictly, this is my thing?
This is my thing. I have a small little studio. I have no running water, so I'm really old-fashioned in that sense. I go down to the studio with my buckets of water, and it's just a little space, so it's just for me for now.
Any plans to expand, or this is nice?
I'm happy. I'm happy the way things are. And I'm happy just giving my painting classes.
And that's another way that you share. You have your classes, your page, these booths that you do. Is there any mm-hmm. other way that you show yourself off or show off your creations that we're missing?
It was hard enough to agree to do an interview to talk about myself for half an hour. I enjoy sharing what I work on my Facebook page. I have an Instagram page, which I share more goofy things. I really like belt buckles, so I share photos of my belt buckles when I'm sporting them, silly things like that. But yeah, it's mostly through my art page.
And do they just look up Leanne Boudreaux Longfellow on Instagram as well?
I believe it's just under Leanne Longfellow.
Make it easier.
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, I don't have much else. Was there anything else that you'd like to discuss? Something we may have glossed over that you're like, oh, I was really hoping to talk about that.
Well, I was hoping we would kind of mention, I've done a few recent things in the community that I was really excited about. So I was really proud of the mural I painted at the Nipissing Flower Shop for Angèle.
Oh, that was you.
That was me. And Gail Primo had came up to me and suggested that I work with Angèle at creating this mural. So it was really exciting. And I'm really proud of it. And every time we go to town, the kids are like, oh, Mom did that. and it's cool because so many kids have painted with me in the community through Yo Picasso. It's great that these little kids get to see, I signed your artist friend Leanne Longfellow. So they get to see their teacher made something for the community.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And also, I live in Field, and I'm really proud of where I live. So I want to do a little shout-out to the people who own the store in Field, Mario and Carolyn. You can't beat their service out there. And Heidi at the post office and the ladies at the Kais. I just this past summer painted the lettering on the big yellow chair in Field. Have you seen it?
I haven't, actually.
You haven't? Well, you have to make it out to Field.
Well, now I have an excuse.
Yes, and the store has great sandwiches.
Sold.
And you can take a seat in the big chair. It's put away for the winter, but it'll come back.
All right, you'll have to let me know. Send me an email when that thing's uncovered.
Mm-hmm. So I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're like me, covered in paint or clay, or like the small town, small engine repairman covered in oil, as long as you love what you do. Your passion for what you love will become contagious, but good contagious, not like COVID-19.
And just like that, we make it back full circle.
There you go. Thank you very much, Drew.
Oh, thank you so much, Leanne, for coming by. This was fantastic.
Good. I had a lot of fun. I was really excited about, so I was really proud of the mural I painted at the Nipissing Flower Shop for Angèle.
Oh, that was you.
That was me. And, Gail Primo had, came up to me and suggested that I work with Angèle at creating this mural. So it was really exciting, and I'm really proud of it. And every time we go to town, the kids are like, oh, Mom did that. and it's cool because so many kids have painted with me in the community through Yo Picasso. It's great that these little kids get to see, I signed your artist friend Leanne Longfellow. So they get to see their teacher made something for the community.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. And also, I live in Field, and I'm really proud of where I live. So I want to do a little shout-out to the people who own the store in Field, Mario and Carolyn. You can't beat their service out there. And Heidi at the post office and the ladies at the Kais. I just this past summer painted the lettering on the big yellow chair in Field. Have you seen it?
I haven't, actually.
You haven't? Well, you have to make it out to Field.
Well, now I have an excuse.
Yes, and the store has great sandwiches.
Sold.
And you can take a seat in the big chair. It's put away for the winter, but it'll come back.
All right. You'll have to let me know. Send me an email when that thing's uncovered.
Mm-hmm. So I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're like me, covered in paint or clay, or like the small town, small engine repairman covered in oil, as long as you love what you do. Your passion for what you love will become contagious. But good contagious, not like COVID-19.
And just like that, we make it back full circle.
There you go.
Thank
you very much, Drew.
Oh, thank you so much, Leanne, for coming by. This was fantastic.
Good. I had a lot of fun.